Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that's the kind of God I could get into. A God who creates all things and then goes somewhere else. Many like to label him God, higher power, or supreme being. No matter how you call it, he's just God. You can try to be an atheist, but being an atheist is really hard when you are created. It seems inconceivable. Even those who would support the Big Bang Theory have to ultimately say the origin of matter came from somewhere. There had to be a prime mover, but most people have no problem with a God who is out there somewhere. The God who threw everything together, and it doesn't really matter what their other beliefs are, God is just distance from us. You see, sinful man loves to have a God who is that supreme being creator who creates and then doesn't tell us anything more. You see, we like it because the old sinful nature likes to fill in the blanks on our own. It gives us a whole lot of leeway if we have a God who creates and then somehow disappears. For instance, if all we knew of God is that he's out there somewhere, then we can't know the specifics about what he thinks about you and me. Maybe God thinks that man is basically good. Or maybe God doesn't have a problem with immorality. Or maybe God is just happy if you as his creatures do the best you can. Wouldn't that be amazing? If God doesn't get specific on who he is and what he commands, well, how do we know any better? That's why so many people love a God who's somewhere out there. Well, there's another advantage too. If God remains distant from us, well, there's nothing better. They'd argue something like this: God is the creator of all and therefore should be worshipped by all. So it doesn't matter if you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or any of the other designer religions that spring up from time to time. As long as you worship God the Creator, everything's cool because we're all on a road and we'll all get to Him someday. In other words, all roads lead to heaven. This argument holds up for us as long as God is not more specific than just creating all things. If God just creates and then departs, it all works. Because that's all we know about Him. See, God got things going and then He left, and then the creatures are there to kind of figure it out, and our old sinful nature loves to figure things out, especially for ourselves. We just love it. It gives us a whole lot of leeway for playing around. Such an attitude, although, is betrayed quickly by the old Adam that twists all the good gifts that God gives unto us. You see, there's no doubt that God created the heavens and the earth, but you know who He created them for? For you and me. He had no need to create them for himself. He created them for us. But sinful man throws a barrier between God and man. See, we like a God who is our creator as long as he doesn't fiddle with us. As long as he's the parent that has no rules, then I'm all in. You see, if God gets personal, or if God begins to be more specific about his demands, well, then we're going to be just a little bit uncomfortable. And that's kind of how it plays out. And people get turned off if the God who has rules, and then there God does. He goes and gives the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But as strange as it may be, sinful man really wasn't all that upset. Because the reality was, man now has the precise rules of God. Well, for the most part, they're pretty acceptable on man's terms. Most people would agree. Hey, murder's wrong. Adultery's wrong. Stealing is wrong. There's others that don't agree, but they create little loopholes for things like abortion or immorality and that outside sinful desires. We just create a little gray space for that. But aside from that, Ten Commandments are okay with me. However, most people are still comfortable if God is this specific. That if God has made us and He has given us the Ten Commandments and all there is, there you go. Things seem to be working very nicely. But again, people seem quite happy to keep God being vague. In other words, just be a nice person. Behave yourself. Honor your father and mother, whatever those other commandments are, and things for you will be just fine. As long as God stays vague, He's my God. But the problem is, Jesus rides in to a city called Jerusalem on a donkey. You see, it's God in the flesh on a donkey that really gets under our skin. After all, now God is being a little bit too close. God knows a little bit too much about me. Well, Jesus said to His disciples, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say to them, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately He will send them." Jesus needs a donkey to ride on into Jerusalem. Think about that for a moment. Jesus Christ on a donkey. Jesus, the one John called the Word, who in the beginning through whom all things were made. On a donkey. Wow, Jesus calls Himself the light of the world, that He saves us from darkness and delivers us to life. On a donkey. God's own Son, begotten of the Father before all worlds, is the Word, and He is light, and He is on a donkey. If you read through the creation account, it is amazing. What's the first command of God? Let there be light, right? And there was. And God saw that it was good. But on what day did God create the sun, the moon, the stars, and the solar bodies? Day 4. So how in the world was there light on day 1 when the sun didn't appear until day 4? Guess what? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Before there was light, the Son of God Himself was the light of the world. And now today, as we celebrate and observe this Ash Wednesday, we have the reading in the Gospel of Jesus riding a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. The one who created all things, the Savior of the world, wrapped in human flesh on the back of a beast, a burden. And people are saying what on that first day of Holy Week? Blessed is He who, the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, Hosanna meaning save now. Day 1, but on Friday, they have a whole different song. It's a whole different genre altogether. It's crucify Him, crucify Him. How could it change so fast? Now remember, man was quite happy acknowledging God. As long as you stay out there, somewhere far away, but don't come any closer than that, and please don't say anything more. And then God goes and gets all specific on us. Why? Why did God become so specific to us? He became flesh in order to save sinners like you and me. Oh yes, He warned them of their sin. He was very specific and told them that sins would lead to eternal damnation. Well, and furthermore, He warned them that they can't save themselves. There is nothing righteous within them that they somehow merit or deserve God's forgiveness. Forgiveness always has to come from the outside, and the old Adam just cringed. The old Adam wants to take credit for everything. And this Jesus, wrapped in human flesh on the back of a donkey, is saying things like, "You can't save yourself, old Adam," and it infuriates us. Why has God gotten so specific? Why has God drawn so near? Well, the reality is that he needed to come near to exactly diagnose the sin that afflicts all mankind in order to give us the cure. You see, that light of Christ came in the darkness of our sin-filled world. That word became flesh and dwelt, or as the Greek says, it tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. He come that close. His tent was in our camp. And so Jesus tells all to trust in him, and they will be forgiven and have ultimately eternal life. But we don't want to hear it. We are so rebellious. Sinful man gets so put off by a God who draws near. Why couldn't you just stay over there? Give us space. Don't tell us anymore. We'll acknowledge you as the Creator, but we don't want any more of you. Sinful man hates that when God draws close to us. Now, it's easy to look back at those that were mobbed around the cross at Calvary and hurling their insults at them and throwing stones of our own and say words like, how could they do it? How could they be so silly? Jesus had told them who he is and they treated him like an outcast. Well, before we cast those stones, maybe we ought to examine ourselves. See, as long as you and I are still wrapped in this sinful human flesh that clings to us, that old Adam wants nothing more than to be in charge. The old Adam wants to stand right in the middle of everything and saying, I am right and you are wrong, God. Maybe it's in the things we read, or perhaps the things we see that cause us to sin. Maybe it's our business practice or the way we treat those around us, maybe climbing over them to get just a little bit higher on the rung of their chosen vocation. Maybe it's the pride that dwells within each and every one of us that doesn't feel bad or even sorry for being sinful. Or maybe it's that propensity for gossip or prejudice or bigotry. Or maybe it's something we know is wrong, but we really just don't want to face it. Can't we just let bygones be gone? Can't we just leave the skeletons in the closet? God, why do you have to become so specific with me? Why do you have to insult me with your word? My dear friends in Christ, it's too embarrassing or shaming when God gets too close to us. But I want you to pay attention to that, because the devil uses that against each and every one of you. In his diabolical plan, he would have nothing more than to make sin look very attractive. In fact, sin is so attractive that you need it so bad because everyone else has it and you really need to fit in. He does his best to make sin seem necessary. And in so doing, he will do all he can to make you want to keep God as far away from you as you can. So therefore, I neglect his word and I certainly don't speak to him in prayer. In other words, the devil wants us to think that it's bad news for us when the Lord gets specific and personal with you and me. But dear friends, be reminded of one thing. The devil is a liar. He has never spoken the truth. You see, why does the Lord become so specific and personal with you and me? Why does Jesus Christ wrap himself in human flesh and ride into Jerusalem on the foal, a colt of a donkey? He doesn't do this to come in judgment for you. Look to the Old Testament. Jesus could have been judgmental from further away than standing right in the midst of his people. But Jesus came into the world because of his great love for you. In spite of all that you have done, in spite of all the sins that, as we went through that long litany of sins and had you had time for personal reflection on each commandment, I was going through there saying, yep, that applies to me too. And we acknowledge our sinfulness, but Jesus still loves us and he seeks to forgive you and me. See, God sent his own son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. God sent Jesus in the world to redeem you and me. And dear friends, he didn't do that from long distance. He did that individually. As you pass through the water of baptism, your sins are washed away. And Jesus took upon his flesh all that you have ever said and done. And ultimately, he died upon the cross. The words of absolution were spoken a bit ago, and by those words, it's Christ's power to forgive. Do you believe that they're Christ's words and not mine? You said yes. So your sins truly are forgiven. In a moment, you and I have the privilege to kneel at this altar, receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus. He cannot come any closer than that. Placed upon your tongue, we receive it for the forgiveness of all of our sins. My dear friends in Christ, as we make our way through this whole Lenten season, we will take the days of creation one by one. But tonight we learn one thing, that Jesus Christ is truly the light of the world. And He has put the light on and changed everything for us. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.